Good morning. First, I'd like to thank Russell and Daryl and Cameron and Bert for leading us this morning, helping us to worship God so well this morning. It's been edifying and encouraging to be here. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I actually had planned a lesson for today, and Daryl and I had been talking about maybe letting Paul Ditch say a few words for us this morning, and that's what's going to happen. I don't know if you know Paul. Paul, raise your hand back there. There he is. You'll see him in just a minute. The reason why we thought this was a good idea is because of Paul's faith in God and his conversion to the Lord in prison and the example of his life since then and the conversions that have taken place as a result of his faith. These are valuable stories or lessons for us. And I thought of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's a good example, I think, of what we're talking about when we talk about the value of someone telling their story. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we could start earlier than this, but I'll start in verse 6. He says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Just note the fact that they were aware of the Thessalonians' story. Their faith had gone forth, the word of God had gone forth, and what they heard was not only the word of God, but they heard the story of how these Thessalonians had suffered much tribulation and how even in the midst of such tribulation, they had turned to God from idols and that they were showing forth their faith by the way they lived. And so the testimony of faith was going out from them. There's a value to that. I think you see that in Paul, too. Paul, on a number of occasions, told about his conversion to the Lord. And he used himself as an example of God's patience and long-suffering and mercy and kindness. And so that's what Paul's going to do this morning, is he's going to tell a story about his conversion to the Lord. He's going to talk about what has happened as a result of that. Paul gets out on Wednesday from work release. And he's going back to Virginia, right, Paul? Back to Virginia with his wife. And it's going to be a blessing, great blessing for him. And he's going to start a whole new life in the Lord back in Virginia. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that. And then when Paul's done, then I'll have a few words to say at the end and offer the Lord's invitation.
Morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Paul Ditch. And like Jerry said, I've been at work release for about the last 11 months and have been coming to worship with you all for about the same amount of time. We were blessed enough to get the approval to come here, myself, Tom, Troy, and then Greg when he joined us last summer. Telling everyone's story or telling someone's story is very important, like Jerry said. They're all different because everybody has their own life. As a person, I am no different than anyone else. I just lived a little bit different life than your average person that you might meet. I was born and raised in South Louisiana. I joined the Navy in 1987. I enlisted. And, well, let me back up a second. How many of you all have looked back at your life and seen points where God has reached out and touched you? And you may not have recognized it at the moment, but you realize it later in life. Okay, so I'll continue. Joined the Navy. And my first duty station was supposed to be right here at NAS Jacksonville. Well, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, those orders got canceled, and I got sent to Puerto Rico for 2 years to be stashed in Puerto Rico. Why? I don't know. I was the top of my class. I had my first pick of orders to come to Jacksonville. And off I go. Never happened before. I'm going to Puerto Rico. I'm there 2 weeks. And I see this little short girl walking across the parking lot. She's not my wife. There's a touch. So we've been married for almost 30 years now. We have two wonderful kids. One of them's in the Navy now. He gets out in June, coming back to the States. He's moving up to Virginia because he wants to be by us. My other son goes to college up in Virginia. He wants to settle there so we can be a family. Okay, continue on. Career, as I know Tully knows, you travel a lot. I did 7 overseas deployments, 5 of them combat tours. A lot of time away from home. When I was home, we went to church every Sunday, a Catholic family. I was born and raised a Catholic, went to Catholic school from kindergarten through 12th grade. My wife was a Catholic. We've raised our boys in the Catholic Church, mostly right here at St. Catherine's off of Kingsley Road. They were both baptized in the Catholic Church. Both of them went to Catholic school. And I'm not trying to say anything about the Catholic, but we did what we were told, that a lot of us do, like I read in Muscle and a Shovel. I'll get to that in a moment, Daryl. Where we do what we're told. We're good people. We go to church on Sunday. We help others. We never harmed anybody. We're good people. We're living with the Lord. Well, we'll talk about that more in a minute as well. At several points during my life, say 1999, when I broke both my ankles overseas in a training accident, both of them shattered at the same time. Boom. Could no longer fly. Navy wanted to process me out. I think that was a touch. But through His grace, He healed me and allowed me to get back and do what I was trained to do. Now, people told me, because I'm living in the world, people told me, "Wow, you're really good at that job. We really want you to do this. You're the man to do this." Not realizing that it wasn't me. It was the Lord the whole time. Because everything that He gives us, it's Him, not us. He works through us to show Himself to others. Well, at the time, I didn't know that. I didn't think about it. It never came to me because I didn't know this. I raised through the ranks. I was a commanding officer of a squadron at NAS Jacksonville. The height of my career, I've been working for 25 years to get to that tour. And it was given to me. He allowed me to do that. Still didn't recognize Him, though. And on May 12th, He got my attention for about the final time. I had a tragic accident down south near Palatka, where I caused the accident, which resulted in the death of a young man. I was torn up about it, to say the least. Went through a lot of depression, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame. Something that I just couldn't let go of. Went through the process, the legal process after the accident. And all my family and friends were like, "It was just an accident. You need to take it to trial," all this other stuff. But for me, what I preached and what I believed in, what I was taught, was two words: accountability and responsibility. And I think as men and women in life, we have to take that as something God has given to us. But we owe that back to Him. That when something happens, good or bad, we have to take responsibility for it and then be held accountable. Well, like I said, I have two sons. Neither one of them wanted to see their dad go to prison. But I knew what the lesson was, that I had to raise my hand and say, "That's me. Hold me accountable." The justice system did that, and so did the Lord. I know He did. So I ended up at the worst place, I think, in the state of Florida, RMC Butler. Oh, my goodness. On October 1st, I was up in the Pentagon, and I was sitting there briefing my program to the Chief of Naval Operations, the head of the Navy. And 4 weeks later, I was sitting in a prison cell at Lake Butler. What a shock. What a shock. All the guilt of what I did was weighing on me. Now, I was at chapel on a Sunday afternoon because I just needed to get out of the dorm. I went to chapel and the preacher there was talking John 3:16. And I'd heard it before. God gave His only Son to forgive our sins. I've heard that before. I understood it. I really understood it. Jesus was sacrificed on the cross to forgive our sins. Wonderful thing. But there's no way I can forgive myself for what I've done. Well, that day at Lake Butler Chapel, a thought came to mind as I was hearing that over and over. Who am I to usurp God's authority? He gave His only Son to forgive my sins. Who am I not to forgive myself for that action? Who am I to usurp God's authority? I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. That's right. But He forgives me. And right there, that guilt, that weight was lifted off. I could physically feel it as I stood 2 inches taller. Right there. I walked back to the dorm, got on the phone and called my wife. She said, "Amen. You finally understand." Yeah. That next week, I go to Property, expecting some sweatshirts and some underwear, some t-shirts. This is what showed up. To this day, I don't know who sent it. She says it wasn't her. This showed up. So I started reading it. I started learning it. I was really just reading it. Went to my first camp, kept reading it every day, faithful, every day, reading and studying. Then in 2015, I finally, after 4 attempts to get a transfer to Lottie, get told I'm going to Lottie. So I get there. And within a week, a young man by the name of Joe Griffin comes and he's like, "Paul, Thursday night, you got to come hear this guy. He's crazy. He's crazy. He's talking about all these crazy things in the Bible." And he's like, "You just got to come hear it." I'm like, "Okay, this ought to be fun, you know." I went to Lottie to try to better myself, to be part of the faith-based program. So Thursday night rolls around, and I roll up there, and there's this guy named Daryl Townsend. Okay, I'd heard about him. You know, we're on the compound. He's got this thing. Okay. Well, Daryl certainly has a thing, all right. So that first night, he starts saying things, and I'm like, "This guy's crazy. Where's he getting? I'm signing up for this class. I'm going to have fun with this guy. Because he's saying things that are obviously not true. I'm going to have fun. This is going to be great." So I start going to Daryl, and he'd be like, "Well, look at this verse right here. It's right there." And I'm like, "What? That's not it." "Oh, yeah, it is right there. Wow. It says that right there." And then some other topic would come up. I'm like, "Ha, I got..." No, it says that too. And that's where it began. That's where it began for myself, and I know several others in the back as well. Especially that guy in the black shirt back there, Tom Sutton. Because a month after I showed up, he showed up. We met each other first day in law library. We both worked in law library. And I told Tom, I said, "Yeah, you got to come hear this guy," because Tom was a Catholic as well. "You got to come hear this guy." So I'm smiling the whole time because I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, Tom's in there. He's like, And it does. And that's where it all began. And Tom and I teamed up as brothers and studied with Daryl. And then when Jerry came, and then with John, and Paul and Ed, who came to worship with us at services there. And we became part of the true Church of Christ. Now, it goes a little bit beyond that because as I'm learning with Daryl, I'm on the phone with my wife, who'd also been studying for years and praying for me. She also didn't really know because I'm telling her what I'm learning. And she's like, "I never saw that before. I never realized that's what it said." So we decided we wanted to be baptized. This is what we got to do. It says it right here. Acts says it right there. So we decided that we were going to be baptized together when I got out. And this gentleman right here says, well, who's more important, your wife or God? Well, that was easy. September 5th, I think it was, right, Tom? Tom Sutton and I were baptized by Daryl at Lottie. I didn't have to. I explained to my wife, God is the most important thing in my life. Because if you put God first, everything is possible. Well, up where she's at, she didn't have a church. She didn't have a somewhere to go to study, to learn, to worship at. So again, Daryl says, I know somebody up there. His name is Jason. Jason Cicero. He's a preacher at Annandale Church of Christ. She's like, whoa, Church of Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. Here, those people are kind of crazy. They take the Bible for what it is. I'm like, well, of course they do, sweetie. That's the Word of God. So she finally went up there and had an appointment with him. And within days, she was baptized and born again into Christ. Not long after that, my youngest son, because he was there, several months later, also baptized, born again Christian. Him and Jason have a very special relationship, by the way. They still talk, as he's off at college right now. But he's staying strong in the faith, and he actually worships at a congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia, out there. So, all things are possible through Christ. And as we go through life, we all know somebody who doesn't seem to get it, who's just not quite there. We want them to be there. We pray for them to be there. But they're not quite there yet. Life goes on and you worry about them. People prayed for me for years that I would come to Christ. And I just wasn't getting it. I don't know if I wasn't ready. Again, all those little touches. Daryl was a touch. Lottie was a touch. My accident, as tragic as it was, felt like the Lord had slapped me on the back of the head. And I was standing in the street at the accident scene. And I know I heard, do you get it now? Do you get it now? And the answer was yes. When I lived up here in Eagle Harbor, when I fell down in my front yard in the middle of the day, put my arms and said, thy will be done, Lord. I get it. Not everybody gets that. Not everybody can see that clearly. I see it now as I look back throughout my life. I see where those touches were, where God was reaching out, but allowing me to use my free will that He gives us to make that choice. We see a lot of guys, we men who have been in prison especially, see the choice that when tragedy happens, you can go two ways. You can use it to pull closer to Him, which is what He wants. Or you can have Him pushed away. And we see that a lot too. If God was so good and so loving, why would He allow this to happen? You hear it all the time. It's on the news. It's simple. The answer is simple. Because He wants you to use Him and His love to get through those tragic times. There are a lot of words in the Bible. They're all wonderful. And of course, we all have our favorite passages. And there are so many that'll help a man get through prison. But there are just as many that help you get through your daily life. Every day. Challenges are all about perspective. You don't have to go to prison to need the Lord every single day. It can be just getting up out of bed that you need that love, that help. Every day. Life is about perspective. Just when you think that something's going on in your life that is so bad, you hear about someone else that has so much more tragedy right next to you. And it makes you feel, I know it makes me feel kind of silly. Worried about it. Being in the Navy, I always lived with a 5-year plan. Always had a 5-year plan. Where do I want to be in 5 years? And what do I need to do to get me there 5 years from now? Always had a plan. Well, after I made my conversion, people were like, well, what are you going to do when you get out? Don't know. I even was kind of worried. I always had a plan. I had no plan. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And guess what? He's done just that for this man right here and for my family. Is it set in stone? Nope. That's okay. I trust in him. I came to work release with the promise of a job. I came kind of late. Guys were looking for me. Nope. They have me. They took care of me, the men that I work with up by the base. So, okay, what are you going to do when you get out? Well, I got probation up in Virginia, but I'll be free to go back with my family and worship. Top of my list, glorify God. And a couple of weeks ago, the guys at my work are like, look, we don't have an office up there, but we want to keep you on. We're going to let you work from home. Keep you on until you figure things out. We want to keep you. It's just, I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. The plan comes together. Not through me. Nothing that I've done. Not through me. The glory of God. My wife, just the other day, she worked for the federal government. Difficult organization, as you might imagine. Her boss asked her, you know, you're going down to visit your husband. She goes, no, I'm going to pick up my husband and come back. She goes, oh, yeah, we figured it was about time. And she went, well, what do you mean? She had never told anybody at work about my exact situation, just that I was in Florida. And her supervisor goes, well, I know all about your husband. My husband knows it. And we've been following where he's at for years. But I didn't want to approach him with it. So you take all the time off that you need to take care of him. You can work from home, too, whenever you need it, to have your flexible hours to make sure that he's okay. Amazing. God is amazing. If you'll turn to me, turn with me real quick. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in a barn. Yet Heavenly Father feeds them. And I'll skip down to 31, verse 31. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And then down 33, to me, my favorite passage in the Scriptures. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Brothers and sisters, I will never forget this congregation and love that you shared with me, my friends in the back, Troy, who's going home on Friday, staying in the local area. Remember, seek God first in all things, and He will always provide you with the love that you need. Thank you.
Just wow. That's all I can think of to say. That's all you can say after you hear something like that. My barometer for a good sermon, a real good sermon, is listening to my wife sniff and watch her dab her eyes repeatedly throughout the lesson. You know that her heart was touched. My heart was touched as I watched her dab her eyes. Just wow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Word the Lord went forth today in our midst in a way that we never would have had the privilege of hearing if Paul had not been willing to step up and sound forth his story and tell us about his faith. And I'm just very pleased to have been here, very grateful to have been here this morning to hear it. We're going to close the service now with the Lord's invitation to anyone who would like to put on Christ in baptism this morning. If you've been taught the truth, the true gospel, and you know exactly what you're doing, we want to encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity while you're here amongst all of your friends to obey the gospel. If you're already a Christian and you have sin in your life that you need to make public, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.